Right. We're just going to, for a few minutes, look at the marriage in Cana that Jesus attended and just learn a few things from there that help us and encourage us. Okay, so, there's a wedding invitation, right, okay? A wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. Wasn't that wonderful? You know, it was a smart move on their part to invite Jesus, because they didn't know what was coming, but they're going to need him. Right, so they invite Jesus. Probably it was, Jesus grew up in that area, and obviously acquainted with folks, and they wanted Jesus to be along there with his friends. So we're invited along to the wedding. Next, please. Right. Now then, I don't know if you're aware of this, but festive Jewish weddings weren't just the sort of very short time things, you know, they were seriously partying. Festive traditional Jewish weddings take singing and dancing to another level, as you'll see in the next picture. Right, next please. Hey, how about that? They didn't do that round your way, did they? No, what a shame. Right, so yes, this is celebrating the bride and the groom, of course. So it's a joyful, joyous occasion. Right, next please. Right, but disaster strikes in the banquet that follows after the wedding. He says, when the wine was gone, do you know when it had gone? They drunk it all, yes. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. Right, she goes and tells Jesus. How did she know? I think she was probably on the inside of the catering business there, you know, involved in it somehow, isn't it? Okay, so she tells Jesus, when there's a problem, they have no more wine. So next week, right. So Jesus says this, dear woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my time has not yet come. And his mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. That's a strange answer, isn't it? Jesus says, what's that to do with me? It's not my time yet. Because Jesus is moving in his Father's time. So you can't rush him to do anything, but he's always willing to help. That's not good, isn't it? So Jesus says, I'll do it in my time and my way. So his mother turns to the servants and says, probably the best thing that anybody can ever advise anybody, whatever he tells you to do, do it. So, isn't that interesting? She doesn't know how the Lord's going to answer the problem. She knows he is, but she leaves the solution to him. And that's the way we should do it as well, eh? Right, next please. Right. So nearby stood, and these are some of the kinds that they had, nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding about 100 litres. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. And so they filled them to the brim. Right, and do you know what the jars were for? I've got a little picture there, at the bottom there. They were used for washing the feet of guests as they came, you know, freshen up when you come to into a home. So they're pretty large jars, 100 litres of water. That's quite a lot, isn't it? Yeah? If you want to convert it into old money, what's 100 litres in gallons? Divided by 4.5. Right? It's about 25 gallons of water, isn't it? Thereabouts. It's quite a lot, yeah? Right, so, then Jesus told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. Now, I've got a very little question for you. Would you have liked to have been the servant that took the water to the master?
No.
Where's your faith? I don't know. Right. The question is, when did it change? Did it change on the way, or had it changed?
I think it had to pour
it out. I think it's already changed. So that the servants wouldn't be embarrassed to take it. That's my guess. I don't know. We'll have to ask the Lord when we get there, won't we?
It doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter. But anyway, they changed it. The Lord had changed the water into wine. He did not, the guest, the chap in charge of the ceremony, he did not realise where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Yes, they see, the servants are on the inside. The servants always know more than everybody else, you see, so the servants know. Next, please. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, that's a fantastic guest, he says, everyone brings out the best wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now. Right. Why do they usually give out the good stuff first?
Because they know what they're tasting.
After they've tasted a lot of it, they've no idea. And that's the theory anyway. Just to say though, weddings, Jewish weddings weren't drunken affairs. You know, they had wine, but it wasn't strong stuff in that message, but it was good stuff, right? Okay, so but the point is you've saved the best till now. There's a message in that. What Jesus is saying is, the good times have come. This is it. Right, next please, yes? Right, Jesus reveals his glory, that's what John says in his gospel there. This was the first of his miraculous signs that Jesus performed in Cana in Galilee, and his disciples put their faith in him. When they saw what Jesus had done, they begin to realise this isn't just any old person, any, you know, wandering rabbi around the area, this is somebody different. Okay, so the disciples began to believe in him. Next, please. Right, so, you've got five fingers and a thumb, or two, four fingers and a thumb. Should be able to remember five things, you think? Mm-hmm. We'll find out, yes. I'm going to test you on this, you know. Five things to remember. Number one is, Jesus blesses marriage as God's gift for a man and a woman. That is seriously under attack today, brothers and sisters, as you know. Right? But Jesus says marriage is for a man and a woman, and it's God's idea. It's not human ideas. Right? It's God's plan for human families and society. Right? So, Jesus blesses marriage. Right? So, if people say, Jesus didn't say anything about that, well, he did. He's got a lot to say. And this is just by his actions. Going along there shows that. Right, so there we are. Next one, please. Number one, I like this. Jesus gives the orders. Right? Whatever he tells you to do,
do it.
Right. Now, that's all so easy to say, isn't it? But let me just ask you again to go back to that scene. Great big 25-gallon jars, fill them up with water. That's not a problem, we can do that. Why? No idea. Stupid, isn't it? Filling jars with water is crazy. And then even crazier, take it to the boss of the feast and tell him this is the best wine you've ever tasted. This is mad, isn't it? Right? But whatever he tells you to do, do it. Right? Why?
It'll bless you.
Because it works. Give you one classic one of that. Take it years and years before. What, nearly 1,000 years before. There was a man called Joshua. And he'd just come into the promised land, and there in front of him is the biggest barrier that there is. It's called Jericho. That place has stood there for the best part of 1,000 years before the time. Right? It's solid. It's not going anywhere. And he's going to get past that if he's going to take the promised land. And Joshua looks at it and thinks, what do we do? And the Lord said, the commander of the army, that's Jesus, he comes along and appears to him, and says, I've got a great idea, Joshua. What you do is, you march around it. And you keep quiet. No noise. Just march around once. Not once. Not twice. 7 times. On the 7th day, you march around 7 times. And then you shout. And then we'll sort it out. Isn't that a great military plan? Fantastic! But I can take you to Jericho, and it's flat today. Yes, because it works. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Next, please. Right, champagne specials. Right, here we are. I put a clock in the wine. When they tasted the wine, the master of the feast says it's the best stuff ever. Now then, you don't need me to tell you, how long does it take to make good wine? A long, long time. And the point is it's one I'd not seen until I became a Christian, and it's this. When God makes something, it's instant. He's made it, but it looks like it's been there for a long time. Yes? Give you a little test. How old did Adam look when he was fresh off the slab? A mature man. You could look at his teeth. See, like horses, you know, see how good his teeth are. Do his blood tests and his cholesterol levels and say, that man is a fit 35-year-old. Right? And you can have a doctor's certificate to prove it, if there were a doctor around at the time, right? But I've got news for you. That man is not a fit 35-year-old. He's a fit 1-second-old. God's creation has a history, or an apparent history, attached to it. Right? So you better get God's word on what it is. So that's a tremendous lesson in terms of the whole science and creation argument, you know. So Jesus showed, and when Jesus made the water into the wine, what's he showing the disciples? He's the creator, right? Because I don't know if you know anything about chemistry. Any? Right. What is water made out of? What is
hydrogen
and oxygen? Right. And what is wine made out of? Sugar. We'll say sugar. What's sugar made out of? What's the composition of sugar? It's a carbohydrate. It's got carbon in it as well, right? Well, when they put the water in, there was no carbon there at all, right? God has just done a nuclear reaction in the vessel. How about that? That's the Lord for you. He who made the universe has no problem in making carbon out of a barrel of water. Yeah, fantastic. Okay, so, instant creation looks older than it really is. Next, please. What a marriage blessing, right? There was a similar story to this in the time of Elisha. Elisha is very much a prefiguring of Jesus. Elisha did miracles that Jesus did, only on a bigger scale. Jesus did them. Right? Elisha went to a widow's house. Sorry? What a marriage. An arm, is it? She spotted it. Just testing. Right, yes. Thank you, Jean. Yes, right. keeps you awake anyway. The lady, a widow, starving. She's just about to make her last meal, right? And Elisha turns up. Or Elijah turns up. Or Elisha, isn't it Elisha, isn't it? Is it Elisha? It's Elijah. Okay, right. Yeah. He turns up and he says, "Can I have a bite to eat, love?" And she says, "Well, all I've got is just this last little bit. I'm going to get some firewood. Just going to make my last loaf for me and my son, and then we'll die, because we've got nothing left, because there's been a famine." Right? And he says, "Tell you what, you make mine first, and the jar of oil that you're going to use in order to make the bread," he says, "you just keep pouring, and it will keep pouring until the famine's over." Right? And did it?
Yes.
Yes. Right. Anybody read the book by Corrie ten Boom, The Hiding Place? Mm-hmm. Right? Something like that happened in the concentration camp, in the room where the women were being kept prisoners. There was a pregnant woman there, and they had a little bottle of vitamins. Right? And the bottle of vitamins lasted throughout the entire pregnancy of the woman. They gave her a bottle, drop of vitamins every day, and the bottle just kept dropping vitamins. Right? So the God's still in action, you know. Right? And another instance, it was in Elisha. A woman came along and said, "I've run out of money. My sons are going to be sold into slavery because I can't pay my debts." And Elisha said, and my husband was a prophet. He's dead. He was one of God's people. And here I am stuck. And Elisha this time says to her, "Go and get your neighbours to give you some empty jars. Right? Go around, get all those jars in, and go inside your house and get that little jar of oil and start filling the jars from the jars of oil." Right? And she fills them all up. She was really into the swing of it after a while. And she says to her boys, "Go and get some more jars." He says, "We can't. We cleaned out the neighborhood. There's none left." Right? And then the jar stopped after that. And she came out and said to Elijah, we've got a whole factory full of jars of oil out there in there. He says, "Well, tell you what, go and sell the jars of oil, and the proceeds clear your debts, and you can live off the rest." Isn't that a present?
Yes.
What about this? This is a couple whose wedding looks pretty grim to start with, because they've just run out of money. They've no more wine, yeah? It's expensive stuff, I suppose, right? And what does Jesus do? I don't think they kept all that wine. After all, this is Chateau Galilee, AD 32, you know. Top quality stuff, yeah? Right? Okay, so I suspect they sold some of that wine, and it was a lovely wedding gift, wasn't it? What's that tell you about the Lord? He is generous. He's good, right? Wonderful lesson to learn. That's, how many have we had so far? Four, I think. Let's look at the next one. Oh no, testament. What's the first one?
There we go.
They've forgotten already. What was the first thing?
Marriage.
Marriage is God's idea. He blesses it. Right. Number two. Do as you're told. Yes, that's all. Adrian's good at that. Yes, sir. Okay. Third one. Time does funny things when God's creating. Right. Number four was God's generous. Yes, he blesses, right? Right. And lastly.
Have we got any prophets?
Oh, right, back. Hey, there was a verse there, wasn't there? Yes. See, she's good, you know. Be warm, Bill. I said it's warm, Bill, didn't I? Proverbs 10:22. They don't do like this in other places, you know. Proverbs 10:22, wonderful verse. The blessing of the Lord brings wealth, and he adds no trouble to it. Riches can cause problems, can't they? Yeah. But when God blesses, it may not be necessarily financially, but when God's blessing is there, it's blessing all around. Right, next verse then. Next, please. Picture. Matthew 1:23. Jesus reveals his glory. They saw something they'd not seen before when Jesus did that. They suddenly begin to realise, whoa, this isn't just any ordinary man, this is somebody very special who can do things like that, you know. And Jesus reveals his glory. It's what we call God being made visible. And that's Matthew 1:23, which says, call his name Emmanuel. Why? Which means God with us. He's come to be part of our lives, come to share in our lives. As you invite him into your life, he takes over and gives you his blessings, which is wonderful, right? God made visible. I think that's the last one, is it? Let's have a look. Yes, that's it. Great. So, you can remember all those five things now, can't you? Well, here and there. They'll come back to you occasionally, right? But Jesus did something very special. In in one sense, an everyday event, wasn't it? I mean, there were people getting married all over the place, I'm sure. And yet, Jesus' presence there turned what could have been a really disastrous situation into something really special. And that's what Jesus wants to do in your lives and in all of our lives. Yeah? So let's just pray. Thank him. He's still alive. He's still active. Still wonderful. Lord, thank you for being the blessing that family needed, Lord, at that challenging time. Lord, we thank you. We can ask you to help us in our lives. Lord, in our daily situations, where we feel we're running short, Lord, to find you to be able to help us. Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your glory in revealing the Father to us. If we want to know what God's like, we have to look at you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. And we just bless you, Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen.